KJP. På Sveriges största jackpot-casino går Hypermiljonen på högvarv. Från Malmö i söder till Kiruna i norr har Hypermiljonen genererat över 130 miljoner exklusivt till våra spelare. Välkommen in till Sveriges största jackpot-casino, hyper.com.
18 plus, regler och villkor gäller.
Hej, Susanne Axel här. När du gör som jag och listar dig på en av Krys vårdcentraler får du en fast läkarkontakt som kan din sjukdomshistoria. Du får träffa erfarna specialister, tillgång till lättakuten och så kan du chatta med vårdpersonalen. Så gör ditt viktigaste val idag. Lista dig hos Kry.
Hej Sverige! Apoteket finns här för dig och alla du tycker om. Nu hittar du extra bra pris på massor av produkter hos oss. Allt för att du ska må bra. Välkommen till oss på Apoteket.
All right. You're listening to the Dance Music Podden.
Yes, you are.
How are you, Esa?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm fine. We usually do this in Swedish, but sometimes we switch to English.
Yeah.
Like this time with Christian Smith. Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
Hey. Very good.
Yeah, exactly. You are. You can speak a bit Swedish,
well,
right?
My Swedish is very good, actually. But sometimes, you know, I haven't lived in Sweden for many years, and for an interview, I prefer to do it in English.
Yeah, I understand. So, yes. So you're born here, right?
Yes.
Yes. All right.
Yes. Yeah, your mother just called, and you spoke Swedish with your mother. Yeah.
Yeah, she lives in outside Malmo. And my history is quite confusing. I'm half Swedish, half Norwegian.
All right.
But I grew up in Germany, and then I moved to America, and then I, after America, I moved to Sweden, to Stockholm, where I lived. I went to Handelshögskolan a couple of years, and then my music career started.
All right.
And then I moved to New York, lived there for 5 years, 7 years. Then I moved to Barcelona for like 4 years, then to Brazil. Sao Paulo, Brazil, for 4 or 5 years, and then Mallorca, and more recently London. So, and I'm still in Mallorca as well. So, all over. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So, what place do you actually call home? That's Mallorca, or
home is where the kids are. So I would call it Mallorca. Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Right now at this hotel in Stockholm.
Yes. Yeah. Well. Yeah. One of my kids is with me now. Yes.
Yeah. All right, but do you consider yourself Swedish? Because it's still...
I'm not a patriot, per se. I mean, I consider myself more Swedish than Norwegian, for sure.
Yeah.
Because for some reason I speak Swedish, but not Norwegian.
All right.
And I don't know, it's interesting, because my mom always spoke Swedish with me, and my father always Norwegian, and I understood everything fine, but I just answered back in Swedish.
All right.
And yeah.
Yeah, I just noticed that you're listed as like Swedish in many interviews and biographies and stuff like that. So yeah,
it's a part of you. Citizenship, you know, it's where the parents are from.
Yeah.
That's normally where you're from. You know, so.
True. Yeah. Also, you and Össe.
Yeah.
You and me, Össe, talked about it earlier, that you remixed a track by Christian.
Yeah, and we tried to figure out when it was, and you said like it's 20 years ago. It's almost 20 years ago.
Yeah, something like that. I mean, like,
do you remember?
I don't know. Did I meet you when I lived here or afterwards? This I don't know.
I think at that point you lived here.
Okay.
I think.
But
so.
I left before 2000. I think.
So you were then. You were not living here.
No,
but you were here for a period. I remember that we met a few times.
Yes. 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 Yeah. No, it's just the young golden days, you know,
yeah.
The innocent, crazy days.
For
back
sure.
When we did whatever we wanted and didn't care about any repercussions, it was great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I googled the two of you at the same time, and I ended up with a track by you and John Selway, I think. Is that the one?
Yeah, I think the track was Move.
Move, yeah. Yeah. That was the first release on Intech, which was Carl Cox's label.
All right.
For a long time, yeah.
Okay, the first release on that
very
label.
First release. All
right.
Yes.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
But it's been remixed many times, right?
Yeah, but yes, but it's like one of those tracks where the remixes never came close to the original.
So I agree.
They really and I'm not saying that the original is just very very simple. It's just a simple 4-bar loop.
Yeah.
And with effects on it. So it's a very difficult thing to remix.
All right. So you mentioned you were here studying at the Stockholm School of Economics.
Yes.
So, but yeah, this is a bad segue to the next subject. But, but I like I follow you on Facebook, and I think that you're not a fan of the like today's business techno. well, so maybe we can talk a little bit about
that. It's not just business techno. It's basically, as soon as something becomes popular, as soon as something becomes trendy, everybody jumps on the bandwagon.
Yeah.
And a lot of people just do that kind of music because it is successful and because it is popular. So you have a lot of people bastardizing the sound, you know, they're basically just copying each other. You have thousands of tracks that sound exactly identical. And this is kind of the business techno of today. You know, you go on Beatport, you listen to the top 100 peak time techno. It's all like generic melodies. Not one track. I shouldn't be that strict, but let's say the vast majority are tracks that nobody will remember in 3 months' time from now.
And
this is my problem.
Yeah.
You know, it's like when I got into techno, I did it for the love of it, and never thought about even making money with it, and trying to be creative as well. And I still do now. I try to not repeat myself, and I try to always challenge myself by being different. Sometimes it doesn't work. Often it doesn't work. But you know what? I feel if I don't take those risks, I won't be happy as an artist.
Mm. So when did like this kind of business techno appear?
I think I would say it started maybe five years ago. And it's like, yeah, it just became really popular. It started with Adam Beyer pushing drum code in a more commercial direction. And then a lot of other artists followed that direction and made it even more commercial.
Mm.
So, yeah.
So commercial, do you mean the music itself or like the everything around it? Or?
I don't want to get into everything around it. That will get, I don't know.
No, I understand. I understand, you know? That. No, I totally understand that. But also, like, I've also been observing. We've been talking quite a bit about this previously in the podcast as well. But like, it's kind of a natural evolution of things
as well.
I mean, it's on the one hand, you have like, for instance, Adam is he's a really good example because like, he's been doing it for so long.
Correct.
And like everything just catched up to him. And then he's like, okay, now I have the biggest techno label in the world. What should we do now? You know what I mean?
Yeah, he's in a really difficult predicament because, you know, I wouldn't want to have his pressure, to be honest, because he's like, yeah, I'm number one. What do I have to do to stay number one?
Yeah.
And yeah, that's something I'm happy I don't have to deal with.
But like when you lived in Sweden, were you a part of the scene here?
Well, yes. I mean, I was good friends with Adam, Carrie, Joel, you know, I should say the first wave of techno producers. And I even remember Sebastian Ingrosso when he was like 17 years old, running into the studio, look what I made here. And it was some like really horrible sounding track, whatever, you know, but it was in the beginning.
Yeah.
Nobody makes big bombs in the very beginning when you make music, you know,
we
all learn by trial and error. And I was a part of the scene. Maybe, yes, they took me in, I should say.
All right.
I wouldn't say that I was part of the Swedish techno movement, but they took me in and they were very nice to me.
All right. And are you still in contact with them?
Yes.
Yeah.
I actually texted with Adam yesterday. So, yeah. Joel, not so much. Carrie, once in a while. But yeah, when I see these people, it seems like no time has passed, which is really nice.
Yeah, and talking of like business techno, you know, how also social media is a big part of it, and I've seen you kind of ranting about it as well.
Well, you know, I after a few glasses of wine, I shouldn't go online, but I do, and I just say what a lot of people think.
Yeah,
you know, this is
for sure.
I just, without trying to offend anyone in particular. And yeah, I mean, it's the industry has changed. And has it changed for the better? No. For one reason. Music, the importance of music is going down and down and down. Social media is becoming more important than the music. Acts or artists are being booked based on their social media numbers. How do they get those social media numbers? By strategizing, by paying dark ads, by being funny, by being good looking. Does it have much to do with the music? Not really. Mm. So this is the one thing that really rubs me the wrong way with the way that social media has taken over. But at the same time, I'm not just going to sit, crawl back in the corner and just cry. You know, so like I get on with it. I can coexist in this industry. I still do what I love. And I still manage to have a fairly successful career. So I can't complain.
Yeah, and hopefully things will change. They eventually do, I hope.
Yeah, I mean, there's always like a reaction to all of these things. I mean, at some point, I think people get really tired and just, you know, it's like I often sometimes compare it to people or artists that only release stuff on vinyl and have no digital presence.
That's the opposite.
Exactly. That's what I mean. Yeah, exactly.
There is no right or in that way, there's no right or wrong.
No.
It's just whatever works best for you.
Exactly.
Yeah. And like a big part of your business is also the label, Tronic.
Mm-hmm.
Established when? 94, 95?
Yeah. Like I had a 25th anniversary 2 years ago, something like that, or 3 years ago.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's been going for a long time. And now stronger than ever. So I'm super happy. And I have one person working for me only, full time. And she helps me a lot running the label, managing the label. We do 3 releases a month, more or less. And
that's quite a lot.
It's quite a lot, yeah. But you have to move fast because the industry these days, if you do 1 release a month, it's impossible. You know, in some ways, you have to adjust. You know, if you just say, I'm just going to do it whenever I feel like it, yeah, then good luck. But
yeah. I mean, that's the thing that we were just talking about. Like you have to adapt if you want to exist.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't, you're unfortunately going to disappear.
Yes. Yeah. Like a lot of my colleagues have.
Yeah.
Like very talented artists. But you have to not just be a good artist, but you need to be a good promoter, good everything, as everybody knows these days.
And it's difficult to do everything by yourself.
Super difficult because
you can't.
You can't. Yeah. No. You know, it helps if you're a successful artist because then you have more money that you can pay other people to do those kind of things, you know? And I'm not really at that level. So my social media is lacking. I know it, but at the same time, I'm kind of happy with the amount of gigs I have and where my job takes me and considering the music that I produce. So, yeah.
Yeah, but it would be strange if you were like bashing social media and then at the same time did the same stuff as everyone else. So I think your social media is synchronized with your opinions.
Yes, so unfortunately I can't just take my shirt off and do like a model pose. I'm not that, you know, not that kind of good looking. so you know to get that kind of engagement, it's not going to work for me.
No, you lever som du lär, as we say in Sweden, right?
For sure.
Yeah. So I was going to talk about the size of your team, kind of, but you already mentioned you have one person working.
Yeah, one person, and I have another person that. Yeah, I have one main person and then a few others to do other tasks like artwork and this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Because everything needs to work cohesively and fit together because, you know, you still, you know, any label has an image and it needs to be a strong image if you want to build a strong label.
Yeah. And no tour managers for you?
No. To be honest, I have a funny story there.
Yeah. Shoot.
Please share.
A couple of years ago, I had a first time, you know, I did a tour in Brazil. And my agent back then insisted, oh, you need to have a tour manager. Must have a tour manager. This was my Brazilian agent. So he got me a tour manager. And it was like a 3 or 4 gig weekend. And at the biggest gig, this was in south of Brazil, I did a gig for like maybe 4,000 people. And they were supposed to pay me cash. So they paid my tour manager an envelope filled with cash. And later at night, the tour manager came up to me. Oh, Christian, you're not going to believe it. I lost the envelope.
No way.
Yes. And actually, you know, this is the first time in my life that I had a tour manager.
All right.
So I was like, yeah, this is kind of not ideal, you know.
Lost or lost?
I honestly think he did lose it. You know, it's like, because he was some, he was a very wealthy kid and he didn't need to steal money from from a DJ. So I honestly think he did. And the agency paid me back. Everything was fine, you know, but it's just like, not the best experience to work with a tour manager for the first time.
All right.
But and to be honest, I've traveled so much. I've been doing this job for like 24 years. I've done it alone for all this time. And I find it weird to pay somebody to another flight and just to have somebody to be around with. Because at the end of the day, most of the tour managers are not there to connect your equipment. They're there to have dinner with you. They're there to that you're not alone. You know,
yeah,
because this job can get lonely. But I, for some reason, don't tend to have a problem with being alone.
I think it's more like a travel companion than a manager. Because let's stop there for a minute, because it's an interesting role to talk about. I mean, obviously, if you're at a position where you're actually, you know, how should I express myself? If you're a really big name and you're traveling all the time, you're doing tours all the time, then I understand that you need to have a tour manager that needs to take care of things that you maybe shouldn't be taking care of. But let's say 80% of the rest of the tour managers, they're, you know, it's just the best friend of the DJ.
And content creators.
And content creators, yeah. Film
well, that is very important now. That's true. So now you have a very good point there. This is something that they can really do that I can't. Mm. You know, sometimes my label manager asks me, oh, do you have videos? Make videos when you play this. It's like, hey, what do you expect me to DJ and make videos every track I play? While I DJ in front of people, that doesn't look good either. You know, it's like, I think it's okay if I make one or two videos while I DJ, it's all right. But if I would be sitting DJing and filming the crowds the whole time just to get content for social media, it kind of looks unprofessional.
And so, also, 9 out of 10 times, there's always people in the booth or around the booth that can do that for you. You can just hand over your phone and like, hey, yeah, film me for a minute or two.
Yes and no. I mean, like, I did a festival in ADE, a big festival. I played one of the bigger stages. It was amazing. And I asked two friends, hey, can you please make a few videos of me? And you know what? You'd be surprised how little people know how to make DJ videos. They just come out, they're wrong format, they stop in the wrong moment. So it's not a complicated thing, but people need to be instructed exactly how to do
it. Yeah, I understand.
You know, but back to the tour managing, I mean, like, John Digweed, for example, he's been touring for like 30 years. He never had a tour manager. Mm. And I would consider him a superstar DJ.
Oh, for sure, for sure.
You know? But you're right. Now with the social media content, that's one good reason to have a tour manager, for sure.
Sometime we should actually talk to a tour manager.
Yeah, I was just thinking about that. Yeah. We just need to find one.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that actually does it like for a living, 100%. Yeah, and
then they can motivate.
I think they probably do a lot. I mean, do a lot of other stuff that we don't know about. But
also, some tour managers do need to work a lot. I mean, like, let's say you're a tour manager for a live act.
Yeah, you know?
To set everything up, build, take everything down. That's a lot of work.
Yeah,
it's much more work than sticking in a few USB sticks.
Yeah,
yeah, that's one thing. Atronic, I guess you're, it's you who decide which tracks that goes on the label.
Yeah, I think that's super important. If the head of the label doesn't decide the music that is signed on the label, it stands no future. You know, it's like I've seen a few labels throughout the time where people gave that role to somebody else and then the label just implodes. Mm. Because, yeah, it's just you know. I also listen to all of the demos myself. I go through everything. You have to.
Yeah.
Because otherwise you might overlook something. And I trust my ears much more than anybody else's, especially when it comes to my label. You know, So it has worked for me, and right now label is strong. We have the next 5 or 6 months releases planned ahead, and Yeah, I am very, very happy.
Cool. And you're also throwing Tronic parties?
I did a lot. Pre-pandemic, I did a lot. I don't know, like, you know, maybe like 20 a year, 30 a year. And then after the pandemic, I stopped because I just wanted to focus on my own name and just DJ myself and just tour. Because if I do, every time I do a Tronic party, it's a lot of work. And I don't think about myself. I think about the whole team. So I try to book new talent, you know, existing talent, myself as well. But it's just putting a whole big package together takes much more time than just me saying yes to a confirmed party somewhere else. Mm. But now, in 2023, I'm going to start doing many more Tronic parties. I just had one last month in London at a club called Egg,
yeah,
which was really good. And yeah, I'm going to start doing it again because it's fun and it gives me the opportunity to push a lot of new talent, which I always did with Tronic and something I will always try to do because it's fun and it's satisfying to see that I can help somebody grow their career.
Mm. So if you're like a young producer listening to this, you would tell them that go ahead and send the demo?
Yeah, yes, but at the same time, it's difficult. I mean, like, I think Tronic is one of the few established labels that signs, I would say, around 50% completely unknown artists. Mm. You know, most of the big labels sign maybe 5%, 10%. They have their core artists and they only release them. I'm not like that. But I have high levels of quality. And just because you're a new artist and because you haven't released much doesn't mean you're suddenly going to get a release on Tronic.
No, no, but if you're a super talented, young, quality stuff.
Totally. That's what it's all about.
You don't have any...
And we should also say to people out there or young producers, like, if you want to send the demo somewhere, please do your research. I mean, it's like I can't even imagine the level of the demos that you're getting that are, you know, in a totally different genre or something that you would never even play.
Funny you mentioned that. I actually don't because I don't have the demo email anywhere.
Ah.
Nowhere online. If you want to send me a demo, you have to find out a way to send.
All right.
Because in that way, I weed out all the people that are not serious. And thank God for that because I still get like 100 demos a week. And it's just like... You know, it's time consuming. You know, but I can only imagine. I mean, I was there's a new platform that I think Beatport is launching soon, which is a really good concept. It's like it helps you organize demos and all this stuff. But I'm not going to work with it because I don't want to suddenly have my email available to thousands of people and then suddenly get a thousand demos. And like you said, maybe stylistically they will work. Because the platform is good and they know what to do. But I want people to specifically send music to Tronic rather than just saying, oh, I just finished a techno track. I'm going to send it to the 20 biggest techno labels.
Yeah.
All right. So a part of the research is to find the actual email address.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm just, you know, I know that a lot of people that we talked to before and a lot of people that I've spoken to is like, you have a label, you have a very... You know, you have a very specific sound or something that you're after, and people just send, you know, it's like you have a techno label and people send you like a disco track or a trance track, or, you know, they just want to send it to a big label just because it, you know, the label is big and they don't even research what kind of music do they actually put out?
Yes.
Or
yes,
which
yes.
artists release here, or, you know, yeah, stuff
you'd
like
be surprised.
That.
They have services where you pay somebody some money and they send you demos to like 1,000 labels.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
That's what
you're
talking
about. Yeah, that exists.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a thing, yeah.
And I don't want my email to ever get into those people's hands.
So what is the Tronic sound?
I don't know. You know what? I thought about this. You know, anything between house and techno that I play in my sets.
Right.
Very basic, you know. I love house. I love techno. I love tech house as well. Even though the word is very dirty right now because it's popular, but if you look at tech house, the real definition of tech house, the best of techno, the best of house. Mm. Hey,
how can you go wrong?
Fantastic.
Yeah, but
fantastic definition, right?
I think the word tech house has gone the same route as, you know, maybe like trance or whatever. It's gotten
business techno.
Yeah, exactly.
It doesn't have much to do with the original
sound
anymore.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, for sure, sure. I mean, it's like we just talked about in the beginning. Like when something becomes popular, everybody's going to slap a label on it and then this going to become, you know, that.
Correct.
But originally, it's something else. It depends on who you ask. I mean, we're fairly, you know, we've been around for a long time. But if you ask someone else, it's a totally different thing.
Hej, Synoptik här. Livet med glasögon ska vara bekymmersfritt. Därför får du 30% på alla glasögon när du väljer Synoptik All Inclusive. All service ingår alltid. Välkommen till Synoptik.
Nej. Dåliga vibrationer är att gå utan byxor till jobbet. Bra vibrationer är när du inser att mobilen är i bröstfickan. Alla abonnemang för 20 kronor i månaden i 4 månader. Vimla, mobiloperatören med bra vibrationer.
Välkommen till Momang. Ett nytt smidigare kasino från Svenska Spel, Sport och Casino. Där du enkelt kan spela hur lite du vill. Idag har vi Gonzo från spelet Gonzos Quest här som ska berätta hur smidigt det är.
Sí, es muy excelente y muy rápido.
Tack Gonzo. Momang, för dig över 18 år. Stödlinjen.se.
For sure. So when it comes to you producing music, I get the impression that you like to try different styles and not pigeonhole yourself, right?
Yes, I do. Am I successful at it? I'm not sure, but I still try to push forward. You know, like if I had a track that was one specific style, that was a big hit, I'm not gonna do a track that is almost identical for the follow-up. Mm. That's just not the way I'm wired, unfortunately. Even though that's probably what I should do, but I try to do different things. Right now, for example, I just did a bunch of techno tracks. I did a few electro tracks, and I think I'm gonna do a few. Next few months, I'm gonna do more melodic stuff. We'll see what happens. You know, so I try to experiment and see what happens.
How has that been working for you? Because I know that Mats here wrote something, a quote that you've said that you know.
Yeah, you had some problems in the aftermath after releasing like a track on Tiesto's label,
very good point. You know, yeah. I did this. I think this was around 2008. I was just very ambitious, and I just wanted to see, hey, am I a good producer? I was asking myself. So I said, you know what? I'm gonna do a test run. So I did a release on Drum Code that year. I did a release on Tiesto's label, and I did a release on Steve Angelo's label. What was that name?
Size
as well. So three completely different genres, and I thought, yeah, this is cool, but it totally backfired. My bookings went down like crazy. Even though all of those releases did well, my bookings went down. Because people thought, hey, what is he going to play? You know, justifiably so.
Mm. Good point,
Even though those releases were big, it's interesting because back then people were really pigeonhole you. They would look at you, you're this style. Whereas today, if I would do the same thing today, people would embrace it. It's interesting because of social media. If I would do something for... Everybody, I mean, like, what's his name? I'm not going to say a famous Italian artist just released a single with a big social media person, a collaboration.
All right. Just I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. You guys probably, it doesn't matter. But it's just, and on a very commercial label, and he's very credible. But it doesn't matter. And nobody will slack him off for it. And I don't care either. You know, it's like, do what you want. And if people like it, good. If they don't like it, they don't have to listen to it.
Right, so you think it would work better today than it
today,
did back then?
All right. I think an artist can almost do whatever he or she wants. You know.
Yeah, I mean, you're only as relevant as your latest single, basically.
Sadly so, yes. Yeah.
You understand what I mean? It's course, you know, but it's, you know, you can do, like if it was today, you could release a track on Drum Code this month, and then in 2 months you can release on Tiesto's label, and nobody would, you know... But nobody would even care.
Not just that, but also those markets don't cross with each other. They're completely different fan bases for different people.
But not really, though, because now it's like everything is, you know...
It's melting together, yes.
Everything
it's
melting
true.
Together because now it's like I've never seen a, you know... Of course we have, like, you know, people doing cross collaborations from, you know, people from the trans world doing stuff with the house and blah, blah, blah. But now it's like it feels like there's no borders or genre, or everybody's doing collaborations with everybody.
But haven't you been like disappointed when you expected something from a specific DJ and got something else? Or
yeah, it happens all the time. Yeah. But you probably lose a few fans, but then you gain 50 times more. So you know, it's
I have my line. Like my recurring example of like going to the festival Summerburst here in Stockholm, watching Armin van Buuren, expected trance music, got
EDM.
Put your fucking hands up in the air.
Yes, and standing on the table, jumping around.
Yeah,
yes,
and yes, he, I told this story before, and he told the audience like, "All right, now people, we're going to try some trance music," and everyone just lowered their arms, like went from the dance floor. Yeah, didn't work.
And he is like, he is the, he is Mr. Trance.
Yeah, but they wanted, fireworks and drops.
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of. But yeah, well, that's the way it is, I guess.
It is what it is.
Talking about trance, I know, I noticed that you like posted like some old trance track from the mid-90s a few weeks ago, maybe, and you had CJ Boland on your radio show. So are you looking, maybe you're always looking back a bit
I look back a lot for inspiration, and it doesn't matter if something is new or old, but I've been around for a long time, so I am lucky that I can actually go back to 10, 20, even 30 years or 40 years while I was young, or even before I was born, whatever. I draw inspiration from all different kinds, and I'm not against trance, I'm not against anything, I'm just against when something is over commercialized and just done for the money.
Yeah, let's see where trance is going, because it seems things are happening.
Yeah, it seems like trance is going to be the next trend.
You think so?
I'm pretty sure it's going to be so.
It's not the dirty word anymore.
No,
according to us, at least.
Yeah, yeah. I think a lot of things are. I mean, if you look at the whole melodic house and techno phenomenon, for me, that's trance. And I don't know how many times I've said this in the podcast before with previous guests.
It's true. Yes.
Yeah. I mean,
but also building upon what you're saying, some of these techno DJs, they're starting to play side trance in their sets.
Yeah.
As well. And this also, I'm not against side trance at all. I know a lot of the side trance artists, love them, great guys and girls, and but side trance and techno are really very different things,
And I noticed a lot of techno DJs going even harder and like mixing in like hard style stuff in their sets as well. I mean, it's like there's a whole new generation of techno DJs from Sweden or all over the world, but I've seen a lot of them in Sweden that play like really really hard techno and like borderlining hard style and side.
No, also in this is an I would call this a new European sound. It's not so big in North America or South America, but in Europe, they a lot of the young kids, they like the 150 BPM really hard.
Yeah.
I'm not really into that because I feel you lose the groove. You know, once you go above like 138, I feel you really lose the groove.
Yeah, I agree personally, but I also understand that
people
want that, you know.
Because when I was a kid, I mean, when I started out, techno was fast as well. Mm. And it was like 145... maybe not 150, but often like 145. Well, that's fast. 145 BPM, yeah. So
it's very fast.
Yes. But everything is cyclical as well. And especially these fast trends, they come fast and they kind of go down fast as well. Whereas Honest House and Honest Techno are here to stay. And this will never change, and it will always continue.
Hmm. So I try to remember. Was it a Paragliders track you posted, maybe?
Yes, it was a Humate remix of a Paragliders track. Just I spent many of my teenage years in Germany.
Mm. Ah.
So
explains it.
So I was really influenced by Superstition, Hard House, and of course the American labels too. But like I was living in Germany, I was obviously influenced a lot by Sven Veit.
Yeah.
And they played a lot of German techno or German trance.
Mm.
And I posted that because this track was like something that I felt was genuine and not over commercialized.
Yeah.
This was before, before the... Yeah, Paul van Dyk was good too back in the days. And I still respect the guy. For one reason I respect the guy, because he still plays trance.
Yeah,
yeah, he's
He's done this. His one thing his entire career.
But was he a part of Paragliders? He was behind some of
those. No, he was behind. He did a huge remix for Humate.
All right.
Yeah, yeah.
Called
Visions of Shiva.
Love Simulation.
Love Simulation or Love Stimulation, something like that.
Love Stimulation.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
That was a massive, massive, and like very ecstatic, beautiful, beautiful remix. Yeah.
At that time, I remember, like, for me at least, techno and trance, it melted together, and you know those compilations were called trance or techno, and they contained the same thing. Yeah. And it,
totally. Yeah, I mean, back then, you would hear like a Hard House release or Superstition mixed with a Plus 8, and it would be completely normal, you know. So like, and this was also before, and but also you would hear drum and bass DJs play in the same night, and it would all be coherent and would work out nicely. This was before DJs, before the fans became hardcore specialist fans. Mm. You know, now you know if one hard techno or no, it's not dark enough. It needs to be much darker, or it needs, you know, there's so many different levels of techno, it's ridiculous.
Or a specific label like Drum Code or Afterlife, like they're fans of that label. And you know.
Yeah, but well,
yeah, but those are like massive machines. So they're like huge, you know, like, you know, both of those labels that you just mentioned could easily change the direction of the style of the genre if the label head chooses to do so.
True.
They can do it.
True. They have a lot of power. A
lot of power. Yeah. A lot of power.
So also on the subject of trance, almost. Well, you mentioned something or you posted something about a remix you did for Sasha, Expander.
Yes.
And from what I understand, it was an official remix, but something went wrong.
Yeah, this was something like 10 years ago where I think it was Virgin. I think it was signed for Virgin or one of these major labels. They requested a remix. Did I do a remix? So I did it. He liked it. And it was approved. But these major labels have so many people working for them, so many different levels. And in the end, it didn't come out for a reason that I don't even know. So it's just like, it's a shame because I recently stumbled across this remix on YouTube. And I listened to it. I still quite like it. And then I was looking for it, and I don't have it anymore.
Oh, really?
I can't even find it. I swear to God.
You have to send a message to the YouTube channel owner.
Yeah.
If anybody has a WAV file of my remix for of Sasha's Expander, send it over, please.
Yeah, but they don't know where to send it because they can't find your email.
Bummer.
That's no, right.
But it's interesting. I know we've talked a bit about this before. Like exactly, maybe 10 years ago, when like electronic music was starting to, you know, spill into the major label world thanks to the whole EDM, you know, thing that happened. Is it still like, because I still see that a lot of major labels now are, you know, it's like the same thing all over again. Like major labels are starting to, you know, get involved with dance music. I mean, a lot of things, a lot of pop music is dance music and a lot of dance music is pop music. But I always feel like, because I see that happening, like artists that are coming up, they release stuff like independently or they release stuff on like pretty cool like electronic labels, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, now you're signed to a major label. And I always get like, ah, no, you know, don't do that. Because it's never gonna, in most cases, it's not gonna end well. Because you know why? Because they don't really have the experience to work with electronic music like a electronic dance music label would.
Correct, but it depends what level you're talking about. I mean, if you look at Deadmau5, for example, I remember this was like 10 years, it was just maybe a year after he came out and about, he got a major record deal with, I don't know whom, I forgot, it doesn't matter, but I remember he got like £1.5 million advance, bang, based on a few records. He's done like 3 12-inches or something like that. And him being signed to a major at that point of his career really helped him because they used their infrastructure to push his name and his mouse hat through through the roof, and he became a superstar in virtually no time. You know, so it can work.
But it's very rare.
And also one thing, I don't know if you know, they do different deals. You know, a traditional record deal is that you get a certain percentage of each record that you sell. Now, let's say Deadmau5, you know, you sign an artist that is virtually almost unknown, is hyped, but unknown, and you give them over $1 million or pounds, you're going to expect more cuts, not just from the records, but they got a big cut of his income. until that million or million and a half was recouped, and then you know you go on from there. So it's, they call them 360 deals, merchandising deal, and all this kind of stuff.
Total everything.
But coming back to what you said, generally, major record labels don't really know what to do with underground dance.
Yeah, that's
music.
What I mean.
That for sure. Yeah. Not. You know, it's like they wanna get a piece of the pie, but.
But they don't know how to work with it.
No, it's very difficult also for them because they have a different infrastructure and.
I've seen it so many times. That's why I brought it up.
Yes. It's very, very interesting.
So, do you have like any specific goals left? Because you like you released on all the labels out there, kind of, and played everywhere, kind of. So do you have?
I have released a lot and on a lot of different labels.
Yeah.
Too. Yeah. No, because I'm still ambitious. I love what I do, and I like challenges. You know. So, right now, do I have any challenges? I've kind of ticked most of those boxes. Mm. I wanted to release an R&S. That was a long time ago. But now, not so much anymore, just because the direction has changed. That's not really my style anymore. But other than that, I've done, you know, what I want. I just want to continue doing what I love and release music and have hopefully some fans that like it and listen to it and come out to my gigs.
Yeah,
it's very simple. My strategy is not to take over the world, but like just have a platform where I can help new artists get bigger, make friends, and enjoy what I do. I think at the end of the day, we all work so hard in this industry. You know, it's like we have to travel like crazy around the world, all around the world. You know, like last week I was in Hawaii, Los Angeles, Mexico. I was home for one day. Now I'm here in Sweden. You know, it's just insane. Mm. So you need to be happy doing what you do. You know, let's say if I would get paid a lot, it's not even about money. It's like, I don't know. It's just
all right.
Doing what you doing what you love and pushing forward fast. And
fighting
hard.
The balance, I guess, in the life.
Yeah, my balance is I take off when I don't have gigs. Hmm. That's my balance because I'm self-employed, and this industry is very unforgiving. You know, if you decide to take 3 or 6 months off, the whole industry just might pass you by and say, "Hey, forget about this person; it's gone." I've seen this to a few people, so I unfortunately, while I'm in this industry, I got to work my ass off.
All right. So you have what do you have forthcoming, like releases and stuff? Something you want to pitch and.
Nothing I want to pitch, but no, this is like the old school style. I get it, but let me think. I have a release coming out in Tronic in early January, which is like a techno track, 138 BPM, a bit faster, a bit more pumping. And I'm working on a collaboration with Carl Cox right now.
All right,
where he's doing vocals.
Really?
Not singing, talking, but like you know, something more unique. Not just Christian Smith and Carl Cox, but there's going to be, you know, there's going to be Carl's vocals. And
that's interesting.
Yeah, I think it's cool. Carl and I have been friends for a long time.
Yeah, they've done something before together,
Yes, like almost 20 years ago now, too. So, he actually told me when I saw him at Ultra this year, "Hey, Christian, let's do something again." I was like, "Okay, that's very nice." So, sure. So I'm working on that now. And other than that... I have a release coming out on Trick, which is Patrick Topping's label. Yeah. Speaking of completely different styles. I do that too. Like I said, I try to do different styles, and as long as I'm happy with it, it's all good.
Did you have something coming out on Eric Prydz's label? Or what?
Oh, yeah,
is that
I forgot
out?
About that too. Yeah. I signed a single for on Prida.
Okay.
It was like a year ago. But he is notoriously slow with his decision-making process. He signed the tracks on the spot, actually. So that was really flattering and really nice. And I didn't think he would because one track is like 134 BPM, which is quite fast for the housey melodic world. But, he was very excited, he signed it. But then his camp, they have other priorities right now. You know, he is so big. He's bigger now than he ever was before.
Yeah.
He's selling out stadiums left and right. So I guess his manager is focusing a bit more on the touring things. And I really hope that they will start the label soon again, and that my tracks will see the light thankfully, the tracks that I did sign with them are kind of different. Like, they're not, how should I say, they're not business techno. So in that way, they didn't age, you know. So I can sit on them and release them in a year and feel good about it. So I'm cool with that.
Cool.
Where was the last time you played here in Sweden or here in Stockholm? Do you remember?
Yeah, it was maybe a year before the pandemic.
Okay.
I played for the same guys, but I played on the rooftop.
In
summertime. And it was amazing. My God.
Yes.
What a great venue.
It's probably the best terrace in Stockholm.
And I think I got lucky because the weather was really, really nice. It was like 25 degrees.
Ah, perfect.
In Anyway, it was fantastic.
But it could have been raining and it would have been good anyway.
Because, really?
Yeah, I've been there in the rain and it doesn't stop people.
That's amazing. Yeah, I'm looking forward to tonight, but I guess that's club and it's winter, so it's probably going to be more techno, less, you know, on the rooftop I play more housey, more easy.
Yeah.
You know, you got to adjust. I also feel that any good DJ knows how to adjust in the right moment.
Yeah.
You know?
For sure. You will have a great time because, the club is great. The sound system is great.
Yeah, yeah. It's a great venue.
So. Yeah. I played there once before, I think. But I played there once, I think it was Christmas week, and it was like a snowstorm. And like really a snowstorm, like a half a meter of snow. And even Sweden, then people don't really go out too much.
No, we have.
So at least it's not snowing tonight.
It should
be okay.
I think it's going to be a good night.
Yeah, good luck with that. And if people want to follow you on social medias, where should they go?
Just Google me, Christian Smith. It's not too difficult.
No.
But how many Christian Smiths are there around the world?
Not too many DJs. No, it's funny you should ask it. There's a famous athlete. I think he's a sprinter or something. Christian Smith. And then there's a famous professor.
Oh,
so those are the three Christian Smiths.
But we need an Instagram account to tag to.
Yeah,
to this,
we will link to it. We will link to the Facebook page.
Please do. It was a huge pleasure talking to you. I hope I didn't offend anybody. I was just being honest.
Yes, you're balanced.
No, I don't think you offended anybody. And really, thank you for taking the time to speak with us.
No, my pleasure. I love Sweden. I really do. I mean, like, I'm here with my son. And I'm already planning my summer vacation. I'm going to go for a month this July to Sweden. I went last summer to Lollapalooza in Stockholm.
Ah.
I had a weekend off and I took my family.
Business techno.
Oh, that was not business. that was not business techno.
Probably more this year because I think they just today actually announced the dates or they're going to do one next summer.
But that was not business techno. That was straight up pop music.
Yep.
And EDM.
Yeah, but they had like Nina Kravitz and
day when I was. It was like.
But it's like it's a festival with everything.
But then again, exactly. And you know, nothing wrong with it. Lollapalooza is a pop festival for pop audiences. You know, why should you have like a surgeon play there? He would feel completely out of place. You know, it's like.
Yeah. And I have nothing against Nina Kravitz. This is the first name that popped up. So
No, me neither. I think she's great. And she is one of those artists I respect so much because she is famous like crazy. And she just plays weird music.
Yes.
And educates people by doing that.
Yeah, she's throwing in like the trance tracks from 95, you know.
Isn't everybody doing that nowadays?
Yeah, maybe. But
she was the first. No, in her defense, she was the very first one. She takes risks that nobody does. Sometimes she gets slagged so hard, you know, like thousands of comments of hate speech, whatever. But she doesn't give a shit and she just does her thing. I really respect that because most of the DJs, whether it's male, female, it doesn't matter. They act the way they're expected to act. They play what they're expected to play. She takes big risks and doesn't care. So she is very good for the scene. We need more people like her.
Yeah, I also feel like more people should actually take risks.
I totally agree.
Especially when you're at that level. It's like if you're at that level, I mean, you're basically an industry leader. So you can basically do whatever you want and people will follow.
You're so right. And I'm so sad that so few people take risks, you know, especially famous ones. They can do whatever they want.
Yeah.
They can push new people, but they rarely do things that are not in their own best interest.
Yes.
All right. The cafe here is closing.
They're closing.
We're getting kicked out of here.
Yeah, we're getting kicked out.
Hey, it was a great pleasure talking to you. Thank you so much. And until next time.
Yeah.
Until next time.
Thank you.
Thank you. And that's about it.
Yeah. Talk to you again next week, listeners.
Bye-bye.
Storytel presenterar. Upptäck tusentals dokumentärer, true crime och nytt exklusivt innehåll varje vecka. Lyssna på fängslande reportage, olösta mysterium och massor av titlar som får dig att känna mer. Prova Storytel gratis.
Om en sous vide är på väg till dig för att du hörde en kollega prata om det och du råkade ljuga om att du också hade en, att den var så himla bra, att maten blev så otroligt god, och innan du visste ordet av hade du bjudit hem kollegan på middag nästa helg för att du sålt in din lågtempererade stek så bra att du var tvungen att beställa en på nätet fort som attan. Och ja, då finns det i alla fall flera smarta sätt att beställa hem din sous vide på, som till våra paketboxar placerade på en plats nära dig och tillgängliga dygnet runt. Hälsningar Postnord.
Just nu pågår vår stora season sale med fantastiska priser på möbler och inredning. Passa på att fynda till hemmets alla rum, inne som ute, senast den 6 maj. Gör dig redo för sommar. Välkommen till Mio.